Welcome to the Surviving Grief Podcast, hosted by our grief ministry leaders at Crossroads Church. We'll be sitting down with friends as they share their powerful stories of loss and healing, and we'll hear from grief professionals and other wise people with useful tools for our own time of grief. If you're supporting someone who's grieving, you'll learn how to comfort them and walk with them on their own path to healing. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Meg Skelfcat.
And I'm Kelly Mayer.
And today, we're talking about something that can quietly take root in our hearts after loss, bitterness. Maybe, friends, you've felt that slow hardening inside where sorrow turns into resentment. But the good news is you're not alone, and God doesn't condemn us for it, but he wants to heal us.
So today we're going to take a look at where does this bitterness come from? And some of the sources are just unresolved emotions like anger or having a sense of injustice around our loss, which is very, very common. Feeling betrayed by people around us. We talk a lot about, you know, the complexity of some of our relationships, even before our loss, are only magnified after, and we may feel betrayed. And even in our faith, you know, we pray, we cry out when our loved ones are sick or when there's an emergency or whatever. And sometimes our prayers are not answered on this side of heaven. And so all of those can be a contributing factor to feeling some bitterness. But we want to get ahead of that. Scripture tells us it's a promise and a warning, actually, for our physical, our spiritual, and our emotional health. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, "See to it that no bitter root grows up inside of us to cause trouble and defile many," because bitterness can spread like wildfire, and we can do some damage not only to ourselves, but to those around us. So we want to get ahead of that and pull out that root if something has started to fester, and give you some ways to walk out of it.
Yeah, and if we were to ask you what bitterness looks like in someone's lives, I'm sure you can think of movie characters, right, where it's the most extreme example, and you can point to it and be like, yep, that's bitterness. But it takes time to get to that point. And so really understanding that bitterness doesn't start big, but it's small, right? Even that description in the quiet of our hearts, that disappointment, all of those things take root. And so today we're really looking at is, how does that affect us? How does it start to take root and grow? And to this point that, yeah, it can get out of control and become our whole identity and really rule our life and our lens of how we see the world. So we want to start with Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Be kind and compassionate. So bitterness promises protection, right? It's this defense mechanism, but it actually builds a prison, this cage around us, where it keeps us replaying what we've lost or how we were wronged instead of letting God comfort us. And so when bitterness fills our hearts, peace and compassion, they have nowhere to live, right? And so the larger that bitterness kind of takes root in our lives, I mean, that's when you see all of the good things, all of the peace, all of the compassion that just get choked out.
And we know things aren't right. The world is broken. There's outrageous things that go on that make us as humans, right, become enraged, and it's not fair. And why is everything so broken? And why are these countries at war all the time? And what about these things? And look at what happened in my life. And we're not saying to deny the truth. The truth is that the world is very, very broken. And through the brokenness of the world, we now are encountering the pain of the loss through death. And that's where death comes from, is through the brokenness in the world. So we're not saying to be Pollyanna-ish, to stick your head in the sand. That's not how we can root out bitterness. It's just to be authentic and to recognize that, yes, there are injustices in the world. Jesus told us, you in this life, you will have trouble. But do not dismay, because I have overcome the world. And so he gives us a way out when we look at the world and we're just like standing there confused and perplexed, like what in the world is going on? And now it's in my life, and now the chaos and the confusion and the pain are in my life. He gives us a way out.
Mm-hmm. And really seeing bitterness, you know, we're not talking about the early stages of grief where you might have a question, you might have a thought, you might have, you know, a week or two of kind of asking some of these questions. This is more the posture of the unchecked bitterness. That's what's going to poison the soul and relationships and faith, because it's stemming from failing to grasp like God's grace in the midst of suffering. You are suffering when you're grieving. And so that's where the distrust and the self-pity and unforgiveness, all of those things really take root. So let's start by understanding, what's God's invitation to the release, right? God doesn't ask us to pretend we're okay. He doesn't ask that. He's got really big shoulders. He asks us to bring our bitterness to him. So to Kelly's point, that authenticity of, you know, we don't want to sugarcoat it of, again, I'm just sad. No, what are the injustices? What is the core? What are these really big emotions? Like, pick just one thread to pull on and lean into, what are my emotions on this? Healing begins when we step back into his presence, even with our pain.
And we may have gone into our grieving, into our mourning period, with some bitterness already. So then we might have mm-hmm. some compound mm-hmm. bitterness. I know, for in my case, like after my husband died, you know, our marriage was hard before he passed away, and there were times when I was like, "Gosh, why can't this be easier?" You know, my parents had a good marriage. Why isn't this easy for us? What are the problems? And what I didn't know then, because, you know, we're all learning a lot about past trauma and how it affects us and all of those things. And what I realize now is that we had unhealed childhood wounds that were causing us to, in other words, kick each other's bruises all the time. Mm. And that was starting to lead to a little bit of bitterness. Like, man, I'm putting a lot of effort into this marriage. I'm not going anywhere. I absolutely believe in the covenant of marriage. Why isn't it easier? So then when he became ill, it was like, oh my gosh, the whole thing just got harder. And there was some bitterness there that I had to take to God, because bitterness, quite honestly, personally scares me. I do not want the physical health effects of bitterness. And so I'm kind of a bitterness police officer. When I feel it in myself, I'm like, God, you got to come and take this, because I don't want to have a hard heart. We literally like have hardening of the arteries of our heart. It's a physical manifestation of a spiritual concept, and we don't want it. We don't have to have it, because God gives us so many ways, including and especially in his word. I just want you to listen to this. My goodness, this is Psalm 73, 21 through 26. This is just so beautiful. It says, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand, God. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My goodness, how specific is that? Even the word embittered, my spirit embittered. And so we know that God cares very much about this dark root of bitterness, and he gives us a way out through his word and through his presence.
And that lamenting, that pouring out of our pain and the questions and the anger and the complaints authentically. There's this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, that defines lament as the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. Suppressing emotions can breed bitterness. That's just a truth. That's a reality. And so voicing them to God, that's what prevents it. That's what helps us progress to this point of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks bitterness. Grace is what allows that to be possible. So let's talk a little bit about forgiveness.
We've got a tool for that. What I love about our grief group is that every week we have a tool for you. For everything that you're going through, we have a tangible and practical thing that you can do in your quiet time, in your time with God, so that you don't get stuck in grief and so that you can relieve some of these feelings maybe that you came into your loss with. And one of them is understanding the power of forgiving in the name of Jesus. And it's a very different scenario than trying to forgive on your own, because I don't know about you, but I can't do it on my own. I'm a broken human being, and I've tried in the past, say, oh, yes, I forgive them because I'm a good Christian, when in reality, I had not forgiven. I was experiencing the same thoughts and the same emotions that I had before. And when I learned this tool and the power of forgiving in the name of Jesus, everything changed. And it's because we're not forgiving in the pronoun of Jesus, you know, his name that his friends called him. We're asking him to release forgiveness according to the character and the power and the authority that his name carries. And he does the release of forgiveness within us as his followers. So here's how this works tangibly and practically. Step one, get a legal pad. And I'm not being facetious, because this is an opportunity. Grief gives us a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go really, really deep. We're wide open, we're raw, we're in pain. And grief gives us this really unusual opportunity to get out not just the emotions of grief, but the emotions that we were carrying around before we came into our grieving period. So get a legal pad. And on that legal pad, just go back, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you, show me the times when I have been offended. Show me the person who did that offense to me. And this isn't about regurgitating the past. This is about saying, Jesus, I have hurting places and I want you to come in and heal them through the power of forgiveness. And for each person, write down each offense. Take the time to do this. And this will become a habit. And so don't feel like you have to do your whole life all at one time, but just do a little bit to get started. List each person and each offense. And then you want to say out loud, because we know the power of our words bring about a spiritual reality, in the name of Jesus, I forgive this person for this offense. And you want to be very, very specific. For example, you wouldn't say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my ex-husband for all the times he let me down. You would say very specific events that exemplify the letting down, things like that. Be as granular and specific as you can. And here's the best part, three things. Number one, you don't have to feel like doing this. It's just a decision. It's a recognition that there are spiritual truths involved. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. Jesus, I want you, and it's a want. I want you to release forgiveness in me. Don't have to feel like it. You just do it. Number two, you don't ever have to be reconciled with the person that you're forgiving. In many cases, you can't. They may have passed away a long time ago. It may not be healthy for you to resume contact with this person. It doesn't matter, because it's not about them. It's about the wounds that you're carrying that Jesus wants to heal. And the third part is that we never ever condone something that was hurtful that was done to us. That is not what forgiveness is. And that's many times the biggest blocker of people being able to say the words out loud, I forgive this person for this thing. You're not minimizing yourself or your pain. You're allowing the sovereign God of the universe to come in and heal the wound from it. So you're actually, it's the opposite of condoning it. You're being authentic about it, and you're asking God to come in and heal it. And what will happen, I promise you this, is that everything will soften, and you will realize, oh my goodness, my thoughts are different toward that person. The pain won't be there any longer because of the supernatural release of forgiveness.
Yeah, when we choose forgiveness and gratitude by, you know, listing the positive truths about God or others involved, even the lost loved one, when we practice covering offenses in love, it starves bitterness. That's just going to be the end result of it. And, you know, it, also in the process, like what happens in your own walk, in your own closening, in the intimacy of your relationship with God, you know, sorrow produces a unique growth opportunity for us. And I know some of you are like, I'm not trying to grow right now, but
yeah, I've had enough growth.
But that deepening of compassion, the growth of our own character, you know, my own life, I mean, it, there was so much growth in this period, some of it forced, right? Because the choice really is the get better, get bitter. Those are your choices.
Amen.
And so we're transforming one way or another, which way you want to go.
That's right. And we all have seen people in our lives that get stuck in bitterness, and it's heartbreaking. And so we don't want to be those people. We don't have to be. That's the beauty of being a follower of Jesus. We don't have to get stuck in the things of the world. We don't have to get stuck in the emotions that are painful and hard. We can open up our hearts to Him and let Him come in and heal. And I, you know, every single time in Scripture, bitterness has the word root attached to it, because I feel like God is giving us an example of what can happen. We all know how roots grow. Trees, they grow exponentially deep within the soil that they're planted in. And we don't want that. It's we don't have to have it. So many times we just have to let God in and pull that root out. And it might be a little bit painful. We may want to hang on to that root, but we know we don't need to.
Yeah, we're trusting God's fatherly discipline and redemptive purpose in suffering. There is redemption there.
There is. And also, you know, God has a principle of when you take darkness out, you need to replace it with light. And so as bitterness comes out, as we put these things into practice and we just get quiet with God and we release the bitterness, we release the unforgiveness to Him, a good practice is to invite in what you want to fill that space. So it's just like if you pulled an old dead plant out of your garden, right? There would be a hole there, and it would be an opportunity to plant something new. And so we can ask Him to plant peace, to plant love, to plant patience, to plant all the fruit of the Spirit that we can find in Galatians 5:22. What do you need? Do you need more self-control? Do you need, all these things are available, and there's a big open hole where bitterness used to live that He would be more than happy to release fruit in.
Oh, Kelly, that's such a good reminder around just the fruit of the Spirit. Because when you look at anger and bitterness, these are going to be two noticeable signs of being focused on self, focused on me, my problems, how I'm someone who lost, and not trusting God's sovereignty in our lives. And so that has fruit attached to it. Is that the fruit that you want?
Yes. Pick your fruit. Mm-hmm. We can either produce fruit that's bitter, moldy, shriveled up, and no one wants to eat our fruit like that. We want to be soft and kind and compassionate like Jesus to our loved ones, to the people that we're influencing, to our kids, our grandchildren, our spouses, or whoever is in our lives. You know, we don't want to put up those fences of bitterness and anger. And nobody does. No one goes into this saying, I am actively going to become bitter. That is not anyone's goal. It's this little slippery slope. You know, Song of Songs talks about the little foxes that run in our vineyards that eat the fruit. And bitterness is a little fox that can get in there and spread its tendrils. And we can feel totally justified to say, well, this happened to me. But we know that we don't have to do that. And so that's our encouragement to you, is that if you've been carrying this bitterness around, take the time to root it out. Be kind and gentle to yourself. When you go examining the tender, beautiful interior world that comprises you, you don't want to take a bulldozer. You know, you don't even want to take a little hand trowel. You want to take the hand of the Lord. You want to take something gentle and kind to push away the dirt, to push away and expose the root. Be kind to yourself.
And you know, you're already ahead of the game a little bit, right? Like there is something in you that resonated with this word bitterness. So you already have some level of self-awareness. And so whether it's some red flags, whether it's some attitudes within yourself that you're noticing, like there's already awareness there. And that's incredible that you're here and that you're sensitive to it. And so, you know, how do we move forward from here? So what I want you to do is I want you to just take a breath. Just take a big, full, deep inhale through your nose, big exhale through the mouth, and just settle. And we want to ask the Holy Spirit to show you any roots of bitterness hiding in your heart. You know, some might be obvious to you, some might be more subtle. And we just ask, Lord, we surrender them to you, the disappointments, the wounds, the anger, and ask God to plant peace and grace and love where bitterness once lived. Friend, if you've been carrying bitterness, remember, God isn't finished with you. We are in the midst of a transformation, and he specializes in turning bitter waters sweet.
And so we just bless you as we wrap up this episode. We just pray, Lord, would you bless our friends that are listening to this with the quiet time to investigate, to take an interior look at their heart, and for you to expose, God, are there any signs of bitterness? Who do we need to forgive? And that you would carve out time, that you would supernaturally expand moments where they can get quiet with you. And Lord, we ask that you would release pictures and visions and release even more scripture than we've talked about today, God, and speak to your people for their health and their well-being. Scripture tells us to be well and to be in health. And so we just bless you with the health and the promise that comes from rooting out bitterness and allowing the Lord to plant in your good soil new fruit.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories. We'd love to hear how this is impacting you, questions that you have, topics that you'd like to see covered. And feel free to send us an email at podcasts@crossroads.net. There we go. We'll see you for another episode. Thanks.
Surviving Grief is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to connect or share your own story, reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S @crossroads.net. We'll see you next time.